Okay, I got to get out of here. I'm sorry. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for making us the most successful local news talk show in the United States of America. John Garley and Sherry Ellica show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. See you back here Monday.
Dory Monson.
Are they? I feel like those are getting longer. I feel like he knows we play them, and I feel like he's really leaning into it.
Yeah, I like how Dory and I are cut from the same cloth because we both try to sneak in how great our ratings are.
That's exactly why I threw it in there. I knew it would be perfect for you, Jack.
Yeah, because Dory and I, we're not big on, you know, like we do like to do the humble brag. We like to do the old, highest rated radio program in the Pacific Northwest between 7 and 10. That's what we like to do.
What part of that is humble? Yeah. That's just a brag, Jack.
Right.
It is said with a tone of humility and a tone of understanding that not everybody can be number one 4 or 5 times in a single calendar year. That's all. Being humble in that way. You know, when you're number one, like, what is it? Like, what am I now? Probably like 50% of the time. That's humble. That's what I'm saying, Jacob. It's something that you couldn't possibly understand. It's too complex.
Good. No, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hey, Jack. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was doing really well in our pre-show meeting when we all decided that we were just going to quickly just dip our toe in the jacuzzi of Patty Murray and the abortion thing, and then dip our toe right back out again. I was really pleased that we came to that decision as a group, a consensus around it.
Yes, I think we have talked about this subject, and we've certainly debated it a little bit, and
yes.
We're giving an update now on what some local representatives have to say, and I have a little update about some things that have happened since we had our pre-show meeting, so I'll get to that at the end of that, but I know you want to probably play Patty Murray and the rest of the gang and what they had to say today.
Yeah, so local politicians all weighing in on this, and by the way, we're going to get to more hot-button issues after this. You're going to get to hear my hot take on student loan debt, because I have the hottest of hot takes. But before we get to that, Patty Murray described herself as spitting mad. Here's what that sounded like.
As heartbroken as I am also furious. I am spitting mad. I'm at the conservative on the Supreme Court for being so cruel. At Republican state legislators across the country, including right next door in Idaho, who are passing abortion bans and starting healthcare crises that impact all of us. And I'm spitting mad just this last week with an attack on the Title X family planning program, and who are now trying to push a federal ban on abortion.
Sounds like she's speaking into one of those toy microphones.
I was going to say, you know, the bathroom that she's talking from really doesn't sound that good. What is that?
Yeah.
The echo is kind of disturbing.
Sounds like the beginning of like a Parliament Funkadelic record, you know, like Maggot Brain or something like that, you know, where you would have George Clinton. I don't think we can play it because there's tons of awful language in it. Andrew, do you think you could find the clean version of Maggot Brain, the intro? If you can,
okay,
hopefully.
I'll see.
Okay.
He's excited.
Because it has that same effect on it, that weird space-timey effect. I couldn't even really pay attention to what she was saying because her ploviations were a bit intense when she was ploviating into the microphone.
Well, you know she's spitting mad. She said that a couple times. So we got that much. So
okay.
She's very upset. By the way, she was talking in front of a Planned Parenthood in Seattle, and she had a couple of her colleagues with her as well. I'm not quite sure how they sound.
Yeah. Representative Pramila Jayapal warned of the consequences of government-mandated pregnancies. Here's what that sounded like.
This idea of government-mandated pregnancy and a surveillance state where neighbors are watching neighbors and telling on neighbors who try to get abortion care, reproductive care, travel across state lines, criminalizing people who are just seeking to make the decisions that they will have to live with and only they will have to live with for the rest of their lives is absolutely outrageous. And it's the reason that Republicans are not talking about this, because they know that protecting the legal right to abortion is extremely popular across this country, across red, blue, independent districts, people believe, even if they wouldn't choose to have an abortion for themselves. I'm not telling anyone they should have an abortion. I don't think anybody should tell us what we should, that I should not have an abortion. But it is really popular across the country to protect the legal ability for pregnant people to make decisions about their own body.
I can't get enough of that effect.
I can play about 20 seconds of that before I have to stop it.
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
Mother Earth is pregnant for the third time. For y'all have locked her up. I have tasted the maggots in the mind of the universe.
See?
I was not offended.
See? Okay, thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it. It sounds identical to Maggot Brain, the intro. Who set up the PA? Who did this? Why is this such an awful event for these fine people?
I don't know. I guess it was sort of they didn't really have an AV person to come and do the hard wiring. But I guess her message is, of course, that she is outraged and she feels as though this is something that cannot go on, and certainly is going to defend the rights of women and the rights of reproductive health.
Mic technique is very important for not only broadcasters, but also for politicians. And I feel like if you don't watch your ploviations, as you just saw, see how I maneuvered through that ploviation, Sherry?
Uh-huh. That was well done. Yes.
You ploviate away from the microphone. And right. these women are just choosing to just go right into it, right?
Like, I'm going to blame less on them and say it sounds to me like the Mr. Microphone that they used for the event probably needed new batteries. I'm going to say it's much more of a technical issue than it is something that they're doing with their, their mic technique, that they're not speaking across the microphone as you're supposed to do.
Can we listen to a Mr. Microphone ad? Because I just happen to have it.
Okay. Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and testing.
I'm on the radio.
These
told you.
That's perfect.
I can spot him a mile away.
So here's Senator Patty Murray, aka Senator Patty Murphy, who also promised to fight back. Here's what that sounded like.
Very soon, in a matter of days or weeks, we could live in a country without Roe. A country where women are forced to stay pregnant and give birth when they don't want to, no matter their own personal circumstances. This is the country that the Republicans want. This is what Republicans are fighting for. But I want you to know, we are fighting back, all of us.
I empathize with these women so much. I respect them for standing up, even though I might disagree with them. I respect them for standing up and sharing their beliefs. But the Fisher Price microphone is just really taking me out of it. I can't even focus on the content because I just want to laugh. I just want to just chuckle to myself.
Well, I guess this has made the segment that you didn't really want to do a little easier.
Yeah, a little bit easier.
There's one more thing that reminds me of I want to play.
Oh, yeah.
The Christmas play last year. Colleen was the ghost of Christmas present, and I think she had the exact toy here. Listen.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who's that?
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
These poor women are there and they're trying to talk about the most serious thing of their political career. And then somebody hands them a Mr. Microphone and they're like, well, I guess I'll make the best of it. Wow. Wow, that's really sad. That's really rough. The audio quality is so important that I feel like somebody maybe should have stepped in and said, hey, maybe we should run down. Let's go get a karaoke machine and let's try to up our production that we have here at this fun little rally.
Or let's go old school megaphone, right?
Megaphone.
Just get that megaphone out there and shout it out, sister.
Yeah. Get it out of your system. All right, that's all well and good. Sherry, do you have anything to say on that before we move on?
Just one thing that I didn't know about. I was looking around and saw this after we got off the phone today, and that's that somebody has distributed the Supreme Court justices' addresses.
Yeah.
and they are planning, I guess there are, have been some peaceful protests around their houses, but everybody is mightily upset about this, worrying about their safety and everything. And there are a number of protests planned in front of Catholic churches, this Sunday. Mm. So, I was watching a little Fox News and they were outraged at the idea that they would protest at the Catholic Church on Mother's Day about all this, but it's, you know, it's growing certainly, and people so far have behaved themselves at any of these events, you know, whether they're at the Supreme Court or in front of the White House or thankfully in front of these justices' homes.
You know, I wrote a theory paper back in college. It was an assignment of ours to kind of write from that perspective of trying to, you know, not necessarily like a scientific paper, but in the vein of writing political theory. And I wrote my theory paper on the difference between right-wing violence and left-wing violence. And my general theory that I supplemented with some evidence is that right-wing violence tends to be much more militant. It tends to be much more oriented around firearms, exact striking specific positions, things of that nature. Whereas left-wing violence tends to be a little bit more mob-oriented and a little bit more chaos-oriented. And it's a broad generalization, but if you look at the kinds of ways that people express violence, especially recently in the United States, look at the difference between the riots at the Capitol versus the BLM riots. In one of those, you have highly coordinated groups moving through. I'm talking about on January 6th, highly coordinated groups moving through the White House, and they've got their military gear and their military garb, and they're looking for very particular politicians. And then on the opposite side of that, with the BLM riots, you have people who are much more interested in flipping over cars, lighting things on fire, using Molotov cocktails, things of that nature. Now, this isn't a hard and fast rule, but I think it is interesting to note the difference between what people who I would presume to be left-wing activists right now, what they are doing, which is we're going to form a mob and then we're going to go there. And whatever happens just kind of happens, right?
Yeah, I wonder how much of this is also, and again, this is my preconceived notion of the two groups, how much of that is youth-oriented as well. That it seems like the people on the right happen to be a little bit of an older demographic, and the people on the left seem to be, but that may have more to do with the types of demonstrations that we're watching. So when you see people out on the street and you see them out really late at night, or, you know, like the BLM riots and everything, it was a largely young group. And I think this particular group is mostly women. There are some men out there, but it's mostly women, and they are of all ages. So it'll be interesting to see if anything, you know, else transpires other than it just being peaceful protests, which everyone is legally able to do. And it's something that they, you know, I don't think it's going to change anybody's mind. I don't think it's going to put the pressure on the justices that they think it will, because they're not, that's not their job, is to bow to that kind of public pressure. Their job is to interpret, or, you know, the Constitution and the laws and all of that. So we'll see where it all goes and how long it lasts.
Have you ever been swayed by a mob? There's a couple dozen people. There's somebody with them.
That may be the weirdest question anybody's ever asked me.
Hey,
have you been swayed
finally
by a mob? I don't think I've ever been in a mob, much less swayed by one.
I'm just saying, okay, then let me rephrase. Let's just say that there's a large group of people and they've got a Mr. Microphone that they're passing around and they're shouting and they're yelling. Have you ever thought, I am now convinced of this person's political ideology? Because when I was watching the BLM riots, I didn't think to myself, yep, those people get my vote because they were flipping over cars and burning things and assaulting cops, right? I was like, I don't want to be on the same team as you guys, right?
Sure, there was that time that mob showed up outside your house with pitchforks and torches to complain about your giant hands. Did they convince you?
Right. Right, but I wouldn't cut them off no matter how much they demanded. I was like, I'm not leaving my hands behind. I have to keep them on my arms. Yeah, I agree with you about BLM stuff. No, that didn't sway me at all. If anything, I'm sort of appalled at that kind of show of violence. So it's going to take me in a completely different direction. I don't think that necessarily convinces anybody if they're on a particular side, if they watch those sorts of displays and demonstrations, if they go, oh, you know what? Maybe they've got a point, while that car is torched and that police station is, you know, caught on fire as well. So
I have read personal accounts from people saying that they were moved by the riots on January 6th, that and the events preceding that, that there are people who have moved their political affiliation because they saw the how impassioned people were about the election being quote unquote stolen. And so they now find themselves either more conservative or more right-wing or more constitutionally conservative based on that act. Now, again, this is just anecdotal. These are just people that I've read in interest pieces in, like, Slate magazine or whatever it is. But I find it to be really fascinating that someone could see an event like that and then think to themselves, yeah, you know what? I like those young men and women. I like the cut of their jib, and I want to be friends with those fine people. Whereas I'm like, ugh, mobs is my least favorite. The mob mentality, that is my least favorite socio thing to be involved with.
Me too. I don't have a list, but if I had a list of things that, like, I probably don't want to hang out with or don't want to do, mobs would be way up there of not wanting to. Yeah, that might be like three or four,
it's,
I think,
like,
a mob.
Mine is like hanging out with my mom this weekend, and then right underneath that, violent mob.
We'll get to that mob a little later in the show, by the way.
hey, Kimmy, you ever own a Mr. Microphone? You ever own one of those?
No, I don't even know what those are.
Oh, well, you need to talk to Senator Murray, because she has got a couple that she's been using that maybe she would be willing to let you use.
I see. Well, thank you. Thank
you. You're welcome. That's right. You hear the music. Keel Mortgage. 1-888-778-KIEL. I went reviewing. Wanted to see what the reviews are, Sherry. All 5 stars for Keel Mortgage. All of them.
That's
amazing.
Pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
Even my show on Apple Podcasts.
Uh-huh.
Not 5 stars. It's like 4.7, right? Keel Mortgage got one up on me.
Wow. So yeah. 2 thumbs up for Keel Mortgage and only 1 thumb up for Jack Stein.
Exactly. 1-888-778-KIEL. Proud sponsors of the John Curley, Sherry Elicker radio program. You going to the movies this summer, Sherry? Any movies that you're looking forward to? Top Gun, maybe? Top Gun 2? You looking forward to that one?
I'm not looking forward to that, but I did see that Tom Cruise landed that helicopter all by himself, which I thought was pretty cool. Did you see that, where he piloted the helicopter and landed it at the premiere?
Okay, so here's my problem with Tom Cruise is that, my problem with actors in general is that we kind of ignore that we have this class of human being in the United States that's basically an insane person who does insane things. And then whenever they come out with a movie, we all go, wow, isn't that such a cool person? But as we've learned recently, like, Will Smith is a violent sociopath who is willing to strike a man in front of millions of people. I mean, name it. Name any movie star out there. They all end up just being insane people. Tom Cruise is not removed from that. He's part of a religion which is wrought with human rights abuses, and so when I see fun stories about Tom Cruise, I can only think, like, yeah, are we just gonna skip over the whole Scientology thing? Are we just gonna jump right over that? Do you know, am I being too much of a downer? Should I be a little bit
I just thought it was cool, because flying a helicopter is pretty.
This is why I don't get invited to parties, Sherry, because I like this thing, and then I go, yeah, you know what the worst part of that thing is it kills people. Like, I just,
I love the movies. I haven't been to the movies in so long. I just stopped going during COVID. And so I don't really know even what's coming out or what could be like a great movie to watch. I'm not a real action adventure kind of gal. Mm. So, I'd have to find something that was funny or, you know, maybe like, some sort of a drama or whatever. Are you looking forward to anything? This is supposed to be a very, very good, movie, a summer movie. Year. They've lost so much money. Before the pandemic, the movie business made about $4 billion in ticket sales. In 2020, it went down to $176 million. Now, last year, they recouped some of that. They were back up to $1.7 billion. But they're hoping that this summer is going to be the summer that brings it back alive.
I used to be a go to the movie theater kind of guy, but now I'm like an old man where if I want to go to the movie theater, I go to the first showing of the day. I will not go at night because I want the theater to be basically empty. Uh-huh. So I will go at like a noon showing on a Tuesday, right? Because I don't want to be around anybody in the movie theater because other people have ruined the movie theater for me.
I have never been to a movie by myself.
It's amazing. You're like a king in a castle.
So here's the thing. I don't look at anybody else that goes by themselves as weird. I've certainly eaten in restaurants by myself and all that's fine. Something about going to the movies alone, it feels so awkward to me. And I don't think it's the going to the movies. I think it's getting the popcorn and eating the popcorn like by myself. Like there's something that feels really lonely about it. Like I want a date, you know. I want somebody next to me.
So you will eat at a restaurant where you are putting food into your mouth with no one with you, and that's fine. But then you go into a dark room where nobody can see you, and then
maybe it's because my hands are so big that when I go into the popcorn, I get so much that it goes everywhere, and I'm afraid people are going to be like, "Wow, what's up with that? She doesn't even bring a vacuum." Yeah.
So
thank you.
There's this other story here about how talkies disrupted movies for deaf people. It's a very long and involved article, but it caught Jacob's interest. Jacob, because you were saying that it's because my mom is a deaf lady, right?
Yes, I had you in mind when I...
Well, this is interesting because when I go to the movies with my mom, which I hate to do and avoid at all costs, now what they have these really cool closed captioning devices that mount into the cup holder next to you, and then they go up and around in a kind of a J shape, and then a screen pops up and you can bend it and move it around, and you can read what the dialogue is on the screen. It's actually amazing. It's this huge thing. So now I know deaf people who go to the movies all the time, but still to this day, because my mom and I bonded over movies when I was a young lad, I can't watch movies or TV without closed captioning. I can't do it. It's boring to me. I need to be able to read it and see it at the same time.
So if you go to the movies, and they have one of these contraptions there where you can do it, do you use that at the movie as well?
No, because they only have a limited amount of them. So I would hate to have that for me, a person who can hear it, and then a deaf person walks up and requests it, and then they go, "Oh, we ran out." You know what I mean? I would rather.
Yeah, it's like taking a handicap spot or something. You don't want to do that. That's not
exactly
nice.
What it is. So what I do now is for instance, the movie Tenet. When the movie Tenet came out, I saw it in theaters, and then when it came out on Amazon Cinema, which that's before it just streams regularly, I will rent it again, and I will watch it with closed captioning. So that's the way that I operate my movie life now.
Well, this article talked about silent films and how the deaf community really was upset when silent films went out and talkies came in, and they organized and they were able to really make a lot of strides as far as the American Deaf Theater and all of this other stuff. Did your mom ever talk about silent movies? Did she ever have a comment about it or watch them or anything, even though they were decades and decades older than she was?
No, but my mom was like a big fan and is a big fan of television and movies. It's a little bit more theatrical in nature. So she is a huge fan of I Love Lucy, largely because all of the expressions that that Desi Arnaz or Lucille Ball, they're huge expressions. And so if you go back to and you watch television at the time, look at Bob Hope's face or whatever it is, because they're all vaudevillian actors.
Right.
They have these huge expressions. So I guess my mom is a deaf woman, likes to see that because it's very clear coding. It's very indicated what the person's emotional state is. And then you join that with the closed captioning, and she's just having the time of her life.
Makes sense to me, yeah, because when you can see somebody's expression like that, you don't have to rely completely on reading.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
you can sort of know what to follow along by watching. The visual is there for you.
Yeah, totally. Hey, Kimmy, do you ever, you watch closed captioning? No closed captioning. What do you do?
Sometimes when I'm like, you know, in bed at night, but not really usually.
Why just in bed at night? Why not at other times?
So I don't wake anyone up, so I can just follow along.
Okay, I see. That's so considerate of you. See, this is what I like about you, Kimmy Klein. You're so considerate. You're the opposite of me. I'm like rude. I play things at full volume. I ruin people's stories about Tom Cruise. Like, you'd be great at parties. I'd be awful.
Right.
Welcome back. John Curley, Sherry Elliker show. I was trying to figure out, Andrew, like normally it's like a more like the bumper music is a little bit more like bapu bapu bapu, and there's horns and there's all this other kind of stuff. That one almost sounded like an intro to like a law firm that was about to advertise on Cairo Radio.
Maybe, but it still got some horns in it.
Yeah, but it's not as like...
He's saying bring back the bapu-bapu, Andrew.
Yeah, bring back like the bapu-bapu with the
I'll try to emphasize more bapu-bapu.
Okay, thank you. I'm speaking to you in musician speak. It's the way that musicians talk to each other. We use onomatopoeisms to try to express sound.
Yes, ping, boing, bong.
No, it's more like if I need a certain drum beat, it's like, give me like a taco, 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 like that. See what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I was just making onomatopoeia noises.
Right.
As I like to.
Taco, cat, cat. See, that's if I speak to a musician, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Too bad I'm not a musician.
Okay, good. Speaking of, by the way, someone who shouldn't be doing something, Sherry, what is this? There's a Kentucky family that decided to make their 6-year-old child run a full marathon. Now, a full marathon is 26.2 miles. I have done many, many, many half marathons. I have turned down every opportunity to do a full marathon because it's just not in my cards. Everything that I've ever read about it is it's bad for the body. It's very taxing unless you are highly, highly, highly trained like our program director, Brian Buckaloo, or if you're like a Kenyan super soldier. Outside of that, there's no way a regular human being should run 26.2 miles because you're going to get to like stage 3 dehydration. It's just a miserable experience. I've never wanted to do it. And the idea that they made a 6-year-old run it is, Sherry, you were saying that this is child abuse, right?
I think it is. I think this story is sort of phenomenal on a lot of levels. Number one, that the kid actually made it. He'd made it all 26 miles. But the other part is that the parents, you know, they're defending this now. Here's what they had to say. They said, "We have never forced any of our children to run a marathon, and we cannot even imagine that as feasible practically or emotionally. We have given all of our kids the option for every race. Last year, 2 kids ran it without us. This year, after begging us to join us, we allowed our 6-year-old to train and attempt it. Both parents gave him a 50-50 chance of completing it, and we were ready to pull the plug at any moment if he requested or if we viewed his safety at risk." So the kid made it. The other 5 kids crossed the finish line, and they waited an hour at mile – I'm sorry, they waited at mile 25.
Wow.
So they could all cross the finish line together. They waited an hour for him to catch up, I guess, and for the parents. The eyewitnesses, though, Jack, said that the kid was crying half the time. The parents' rebuttal to that is he isn't crying any more than he would be on any other Sunday morning or something like that, which is
what?
A little weird. Yeah, I know that. Wow, thank you. What's going on there?
Yeah.
And then they said that, you know, he'd never really broke down or said, "I want to stop," or resisted, and he made it through. The next day, they posted a picture of him with a bunch of Pringles, this Pringle snack pack, right? And I guess what they said was that he was struggling physically, but they didn't elaborate on that, and they stand by the fact that this kid wanted to do it. The race coordinators say that there was no age restriction, so they couldn't prevent him from doing it. And so the parents are saying it was a good experience for the whole family. I think it was terrible, really. This little kid doesn't know. You know, he doesn't. He's doing what his whole family is doing. He just wants to be a part of it. So, I mean, thankfully he's fine and he didn't get dehydrated or break anything. But to have a 6-year-old run 26 miles or even walk it in one day?
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
I
can't drive 26 miles in one day. And I'm like, my legs are broken, you know? I mean, it's just, I just can't imagine.
I did ask our PD, Brian, who is an experienced and very successful marathon runner, about this, and he kind of immediately just started dunking on the kid for taking 8 hours. And
yeah.
So he actually didn't think that that's... He doesn't think anybody that runs a marathon slower than 5 hours should really say that they've run a marathon. That is more like a very lengthy walk with the kids.
Yeah.
So he busted on the 6-year-old?
Yeah.
Saying you slowed the whole race down, you dumb 6-year-old?
Yeah. So I'm sure Brian lowered his Oakley sunglasses and just started cackling and laughing at this small child. 8 hours and 35 minutes, though, of physical exercise for a 6-year-old. I think people should contextualize that. 8 hours and 35 minutes of quote-unquote
non-stop
running, crying, throwing up all over the place, whining, bad times in general, right? Okay. Hey, Kimmy, you ever do a half marathon? Ever do a full marathon?
Oh, my gosh. I did the Seahawks run once to impress my boyfriend at the time, but I just about died. I'm not a runner.
What was that, like
much
a
better
a
cheerleader.
Half? 2 miles?
No, it was like... Five? I don't even know. 12K?
Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's like right down the block.